This is our Vents Day segment, your chance to vent your spleen politely on a couple of topics on the news. This week's topics, minimum and or maximum wage and the fate of the state of Jefferson. 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782, email jx@jeffnet.org. Let me set up the state of Jefferson concept. That's item two. It's a revisiting of this concept, carving a new state out of parts of California and Oregon, far from the population centers and state capitals in Sacramento and Salem. The Jefferson concept took a beating lately. Two of three counties voted against it at the polls in last week's California primary, and the supervisors in Butte County, Chico's home county, decided just yesterday against joining the other counties that favor secession from California. It may be brought up again in Butte County, but that's several months away. So California and some of its less satisfied counties are essentially stuck with each other for the time being. They do need to work together. Who should be reaching out of this situation and how? For example, should supervisors from the northern counties mount a bus trip to Sacramento to remind legislators that there is more to California? How would you recommend getting the parts of the state to at least get to know each other? That's one of our topics on Vents Day. The other one is minimum and maximum wage. Do you favor a minimum wage? If so, where would you set it? Do you favor a maximum wage for that matter? There's discussion now about making top executive pay a multiplier, like 25 times the lowest salary in a company, and ways to enforce that. For example, if you do business with local government, state government, the state of Rhode Island's considering something like this. It's already passed the state Senate. We'll get into this more. Minimum wage, maximum wage, one topic, state of Jefferson, fate the other. Your phone calls and emails welcome at 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782, or jx@jeffnet.org. First up is Paul in Grants Pass. Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Good morning. Well, let's see. First of all, State of Jefferson is a wonderful romantic idea, and it's a delightful way to create the next Appalachia in the United States. We're dealing with an area that is based almost entirely upon extractive sorts of industries for its livelihood that runs and follows a boom and bust cycle. Almost none of the investment in the region is local investment. Most of the investment is investment from the East Coast, which means that we're an internal colony of the United States. Right now, Northern California benefits from the tax base in Southern California. Yes, there's a lot of issues that go along with that in terms of water going south that maybe shouldn't be going south and things along those lines. Heaven help us if they ever start tapping the Columbia. Same thing with Southern Oregon. You know, we wind up benefiting a lot from the tax bases and the taxes paid in the north populous part of the state. So it's a wonderful romantic idea. I don't think that it's economically viable, and I don't think that a state could adequately support itself if it was carved out of the counties that we're describing here.
Interesting, that's, too, that you bring up Appalachia, because the fact is that Appalachia itself is spread across several states: Virginia, Kentucky, West Virginia.
Yeah, absolutely. We'd be creating a state of Appalachia, effectively, though, in terms of the economic behaviors. You know, just for one example, when we were in the worst of the downturn here in Josephine County, we were so heavily dependent upon construction and not so much timber, but timber fed into that, that when we crashed, we were pumping the unemployment insurance that was getting pumped into Josephine County was $1 million a week.
Wow.
Keeping this afloat. And that money came mostly, you know, frankly, the large majority of the employers are in the Willamette Valley and along the Columbia River. And the way the system is set up, they were essentially subsidizing the people here in Josephine County. And you can see example after example after example of that. The people who want to do this, great idea, you know, but it's a really dumb idea when you start looking at the economics of it.
All right, and you understand you had some thoughts too about wages.
Oh, absolutely! No society has ever survived without an underclass. Whether we call them slaves or we call them minimum wage earners, no society in history, no organized society in history, has survived without some form of an underclass along those lines. I don't think our economy honestly can, to be perfectly realistic, and it sounds horribly cynical. Personally, if it were me, I'd be creating a minimum wage of something near the living wage, but I'd also be creating a negative income tax to redistribute the wealth in such a way as to bring people up to whatever standard we decide as a society that those who don't have the ability to make. On putting caps on wages,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that runs counter to my basic belief system, and that is that you to excel you go out and you do your very best, and you should be rewarded for your very best. Now, are there a lot of people who are getting rewarded for being crooks, liars, and thieves and cheats? You bet. They shouldn't be. But when a person goes out and earns an honest living and makes an honest wage, that shouldn't be limited by some kind of an artificial cap, in my opinion.
All right, Paul, thanks for all the thoughts. Very much appreciate it. This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. Minimum, maximum wage, one topic, and the whole state of Jefferson concept and its fate given recent votes, the other topic. Bob in Jacksonville, you're up. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Thank you. I'll keep it brief. We've had 74 fatal school shootings since Sandy Hook. This is an indication of the angst in this country. A lot of that angst comes from people. They're very insecure. Is my house going to be foreclosed? Do I have medical problems that are going to cost, that are going to sink me? We have got to start to equalize what people have as an income. Even Henry Ford, when he was questioned, "Henry, why are you paying your workers so well?" His response was, "Because they might be able to buy a car from me." We got to have a circle. It's when too much income piles up in one area,
the upper income brackets.
The upper income brackets. Let's find a way to even it out, because we're shooting ourselves in the foot, and we're all going to suffer in the end from greed. We have corruption and greed just taking hold of this country. The democracy is gone. The special interests run this country. Enough. I'll take my answer off.
Thanks. All right, Bob, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We're not going to get an answer because I'm the moderator, not the actual opponent here. But the topics here in this Vents Day, your chance to vent your spleen politely on topics in the news. Minimum and maximum wage as one discussion. You can comment on either or. And the other one is the state of Jefferson and where things go now that the Butte County supervisor said they're not going to consider joining up, at least at this point. Your thoughts welcome at 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782, or by email jx@jeffnet.org. Next up is Bill in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Good morning. It's too bad that you have to put that limitation of being polite on me, but I will try to accommodate.
I think you'll manage.
The minimum wage, of course, any civilized society must have a minimum wage so that people who go to work can make a decent living. The threats of the business community that it will limit jobs is a myth and always has been a myth, but they've been using that argument since way back in the New Deal days when the minimum wage idea was first introduced. As far as the state of Jefferson is concerned, that's a joke. From a practical standpoint, the Democrats are never going to allow that to happen, because it would mean two new Republican right-wing senators that would be added to the mix, so they're not going to go for that. It's not about to happen, and frankly, I don't even think it's worthy of much more publicity. It's a fun joke, but it really has nothing to do with serious business.
All right. Thanks for your thoughts, Bill. Appreciate it. And see, you did keep it polite.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Take care. This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. Minimum and maximum wage, one topic. The other topic is the state of Jefferson fate, where things should go from here, more in terms of, since it does not appear like there's enough traction to really make a serious effort again this time, What sorts of approaches should be made from the people who feel like they are disconnected from the rest of their state, or should the state reach out to them? Should the legislators be taking tours of the back corners of California and Oregon? What do you think? 800-838-3760 around the region. Rogue Valley local number 541-552-6782. Email address jx@jeffnet.org. Let's take another call here. Let me see the top of the screen there, Megan. There we go. Dennis and Eugene, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Hi. I'd like to comment on the wage thing. I had a small business for a lot of years, and, you know, I don't think you can make a blanket statement about it, especially the minimum wage thing,
mm-hmm.
because, like, if you have a business where it takes several years, say 4 years, to actually be viable in the business to make money for the person that you're working for, it would probably, when you first start out, you probably wouldn't be able to pay that person $15 or $20 or $30 an hour, whatever you decided a minimum wage would be, because you're actually losing money at first on the person because you're training them and you have a certain number of washouts. You know, there's a certain number of people in skilled labor that are just don't have the technical or ambidextrous skill or whatever it is they need to have, hand-eye coordination, in order to become a journeyman something or other. Mm-hmm. So I sort of think the best thing in skilled pursuits is that you would have a union and you'd have an apprenticeship and it would be worked through that way. Now, non-skilled jobs like perhaps a restaurant worker, I don't really think that it's a non-skilled job, but maybe a clerk at a convenience store or whatever.
They may be termed non-skilled jobs. I mean, obviously there are skills that come with any job.
Yeah, but where it doesn't take very long, you know, say a couple of weeks and you got it down.
Mm-hmm.
Why, there I think there should be a minimum wage because once you have the job down, why then you, that's what you're going to make. That's going to be your minimum. And it might be also the maximum for that job, really, because it might be a job that, you know, it's sort of an entry-level job. So from that standpoint, I think it's got to be more. I just don't think you can have a minimum wage period. I don't think that works. So, and then for the idea of somebody getting paid, overpaid, you know, like as a CEO or something like that,
mm-hmm.
the whole problem there comes from the most companies have a board of directors, and most of these board of directors are the board are no good. They're just dupes for the guy that's the CEO of the company, and they get paid to do what he wants them to do. And so if these companies had actually real, true board of directors where the board was, you know, voted on by the membership and the membership really watched whether the CEO was doing what he or she was supposed to, there wouldn't be any overpay. But, you know, that isn't the way it is now. It's an insider deal.
Mm-hmm.
So and
buddies passing higher.
Yeah,
higher
yeah. You know, buddies. Warren Buffett. You know that. That's what he always says. You don't. Nobody wants him on their board of directors because he makes them toe the mark.
All right. Thanks for all the thoughts, Dennis. Appreciate it. Always good to talk to you. N-word in Ash Valley. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day. We're talking minimum and maximum wage and the state of Jefferson concept.
Yeah. Thanks. I think the two topics are tied together with the fact that Jefferson is less fictional than most people think because the majority of Americans are disenfranchised. The only place we connect is in the bars or the church or perhaps in some corporate lunchroom or something.
But not through the political process, you're saying?
Well, I mean, it is political in a sense. You don't want to talk about politics in a bar, I suppose. For some people, but really, what we're doing, the politics is that we are disenfranchised. We're kept out of the arena. We're fed a lot of things that aren't true, and then we believe them so much we defend falsehoods. I call it false politic.
Mm-hmm.
And then the idea of wages is tied together because, you know, we're all slaves. Most of us that are that earn a living that you know are maybe we're retired now, but we spend our lives just earning money, doing, you know, work that wasn't really that demanding mentally probably, but we might have been skilled or whatever, you know. But it's slavery, you know. So it's all comes down to Article 1, Section 8 in commerce. You know, we need to think about it. You know, I think there's something in the Reagan administration they talked about. It's the economy, stupid.
No, that was actually Clinton running for office. It's the economy,
okay,
stupid.
Okay, yeah. It's the economy, stupid. No, it's not. It's the stupid people. It's like the problem is people-based, and I see it as a paradigm shift that started 300 years ago about, and it's just not a done deal. But people have been waving these banners from the Dark Ages, and they think everything's got to be contentious. We got to separate. We need diversity.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, it's all about unity. And so with Jefferson or the concept of Jefferson, he could use the Constitution and develop polities of 30,000 people stretched across the country, a replication of civic republicanism where everybody has a representative, everybody has their own college, their own high schools, their own hospital, you know, it's just 30,000 people. And you get, you know, and do it that way rather than having all these like metropolises or like, you know, you go to a city and it's got, you know, 300,000 people, and it's just a big police state, really.
All right. Thanks for all the thoughts, Edward. Appreciate the input here. This is Vince Day on the Jefferson Exchange. Your thoughts welcome on minimum versus maximum wage and the state of Jefferson concept, which has cooled off again of late with this latest decision by the Butte County Board of Supervisors not to take a vote, ultimately. I mean, it was an indication that there were 3 no votes and 2 yes votes, at which point the motion was withdrawn for reconsideration for a few months. Email from Deb in Talent. She says it might help proponents of the state of Jefferson if they would say which Jefferson the namesake is. Heard this before. Is it Jefferson Davis or is it Thomas Jefferson? That might make a difference in some people's minds. Let's go to Charles in Cottage Grove. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Oh, hello, Jeffrey. I'm going to keep my comments strictly to minimum wage here.
All right.
I'm opposed to a minimum wage, really. I think that each individual jurisdiction, be it a city or a county, I don't know, Oregon has a fairly decent minimum wage, and I live in a fairly low-cost area. I would prefer to see some flexibility in the matter. I personally don't care to live in a high-cost place. I was listening to a show on Morning Edition a little while ago, where the cost of a 2-bedroom apartment in San Jose is in excess of $2,000 a month. Well, thank you. I would support a minimum wage, a higher minimum wage, in a place where such a cost of living is so dramatically higher, but that's simply not the case here where I live, and I wouldn't want to see such a high minimum wage going and killing jobs. Thank you. I'll take comments off the air.
All right. Thank you, Charles. Appreciate that. We had another email here from Joe in Talent. He says, I had a couple of companies before moving to Oregon, and I paid my artists $6 more an hour than my competition, gave them full benefits and support with childcare. I went from a small startup to a successful multi-million-dollar company within 2 years with 5 employees. It had less to do with my business prowess, or as my wife would remind me, dumb luck, and had everything to do with the dedication, enthusiasm, and loyalty of my employees. I got more per hour out of them willingly than my competition did, and my retention rate was 95%. My employees were able to support their families and not worry about their health or what to do with the kids during the day. They were able to focus, contribute, and from that we all benefited. It can work. We just need to stop taking our lead from companies who crow about how little they pay their employees and more from those who see them as partners in their success. That from Joe in Talent, his comments on minimum and maximum wage. Maximum wage we barely talked about, but basically the CEO ratio, compensation ratio from the CEO to the typical worker in the United States as of 2012 was 273-1. Typical worker in a company, say, would make $20,000 a year, multiply by 273, and you get the CEO pay on average 2 years ago. That's where the discussion of maximum wage comes from. Again, the Rhode Island Senate has already passed a bill that says if you're going to do business with the state of Rhode Island, vendors and services will be chosen based on things like whether they pay their employees reasonably well. The ratio they've chosen to talk about is 32 times the worker pay, but there are obviously lots of other numbers out there that can be considered. Let's take some more calls. Mark in Grants Pass, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Well, good morning. I was just curious about the notion that the state of Jefferson thing would be an entire joke. One of the things you learn at the university, I remember not too long ago, was that in fact the first attempt at the state of Jefferson here almost succeeded and was preempted by the war in 1941. And it was a fairly serious undertaking.
Well, so, you know, there's a lot of disagreement by historians even on that, that it looked like a publicity stunt. You know, they had the newsreel cameras out to show the roadblocks at the state line coming into Siskiyou County, that sort of thing. So, there is some question even now about whether that was a truly serious effort. But the fact is,
well,
it was getting a lot of publicity.
It certainly gets, there was some juice behind it anyway, enough to make it a fairly large story across the country. One of the other things that's curious to me in this part of the world, I'm a transplant from New England, and I'm just getting used to the idea of what folks apparently on the left side of the house are calling libertarians out here. I'm a civil libertarian, but I'm a civil libertarian like Bernie Sanders from Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very curious to me as I hear on talk shows and people talk about these labels of civil liberties and those kinds of things, what that means to the... I'm very curious about what that means to the people here in this part of the world, because it seems different from where I come from.
All right. Thanks for the perspective. I don't know what I can shed on that. Let's go to Julie in Ashland. You got about a minute. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Hi, thank you. I'm really for the state of Jefferson idea. I think that would take care of the wage thing also, because it would provide us a way of designing our own economy. And I think that there's a way to do that with positive incentives. Therefore, I don't think there should be a cap. And as far as the minimum goes, I think unions are the best vehicle for that. I think they were hard won back in the days, and I think it's important not to lose that, just as much as not losing freedom that was hard fought for, too. And I do believe in the innovative nature of people and the willingness to go on board to an idea that's win-win for people. And the state of Jefferson could also grow into all through the United States a way to pull away from the political system that is a sinking ship right now. And between borders of states, people could collect and say, these are our senators, these are our congresspeople, and this is the way we want to design our government.
All right. Thanks for the input there, Julie. Appreciate it. Julie Ashland, the final comment today on today's Vince Day. Another lively discussion. Thanks for listening. Thanks for taking part. This is the Jefferson Exchange.